for one and one for another. With the name of love above all others. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Paul Sadek sitting in for Jeff Cavins this morning.
And I'm Corey Regan, and we have a big show today.
Oh, we're going to be talking about all things theology of the body from both the male and the female perspective. And then a little bit later on, birth mothers and a celebration for them coming up. But first of all, let's open up with Christopher West. He is the proud husband and father of five, author of Theology of the Body Explained and Theology of the Body for Beginners. He's been teaching graduate and undergraduate courses on the subject of theology of the body since the late 1990s. Christopher West, good morning to you.
Good morning, Corey and Paul. Great to be with you.
Thank you so much for being here. We're excited to talk about this subject. And first off, For those who may not know, how did you get involved in this study, and what's your role sort of in this big subject that we're about to dive into?
Sure. Well, I was raised in the church in the 70s and 80s, and when it came to questions of sexuality, it was basically a starvation diet.
Mm-hmm.
we were told, I mean, nobody came out and said this, but it was kind of in the air. Your desires are bad, they're
right.
Dirty,
mm-hmm.
They're going to get you in trouble, you just need to repress all that and live the Christian life over here. Well, if you're raised on a starvation diet like I was, the culture's fast food gospel starts to look very attractive.
Sure.
And that's the culture's promise of immediate gratification for these hungers we have.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like me and then you go for the fast food, you're going to end up like the guy in the movie Super Size Me. You're mm-hmm. not going to feel so good after a while. That was me in my college years.
Yeah.
And so this is the late 80s now, and I remember very clearly, Paul and Corey, the pain I was in from all the grease and sodium in my system, so to speak. and I remember saying, God in heaven, if you exist, you better show me, and you better show me why you gave me all these desires, because they're getting me and everybody I know into a lot of trouble.
So theology of the body was kind of a relief, wasn't it?
Oh, it absolutely was. It was like coming into a banquet. I Jesus said, seek and you'll find. I had questions. I was seeking answers. And in the early 90s, I discovered this theology of the body from Pope John Paul II. And in his own words, you know, this is my way of putting it, but John Paul was saying, the church is not about starving. And if you take your hunger to what the secular world says, you're going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ lays out for us a banquet, a wedding feast that really satisfies the deepest yearnings of our hearts. I remember discovering this in the early 90s and reading it for the first time, and I knew then, Paul and Corey, that I was holding something so important in my hands for the church and the world. I had never heard anything about it growing up in Catholic schools. I knew then I would spend the rest of my life studying this theology of the body and sharing it with the world.
Share with us, if you would, in a nutshell, what we mean when we say theology of the body.
Yeah, the basics.
I'm
sure. A convert, and I'm still sort of learning about this topic.
Sure, no problem. So first of all, when we say theology of the body, it's the title that John Paul II gave to a series of 129 short talks that he delivered between 1979 and 1984. It was the first major teaching project of St. John Paul II's pontificate. And in this teaching, over the course of 5 years, John Paul II unfolded for us a biblical reflection about the meaning of our creation as male and female. Why did God make us male and female? This is a critical, critical question in our world today. You probably heard last week this report from, I think it was some public school in Nebraska, where you're not allowed to say boys and girls anymore.
Oh, yes. I saw that. Purple penguins.
Interesting.
Yeah. This is the crazy world we're living in. We are seeking to eliminate the sexual difference. Well, time out. It's the sexual difference that literally brings life to the world. So if we're trying to eliminate the sexual difference, we are a world committing suicide.
Right.
We're going to go extinct, aren't
mm-hmm.
we?
No more
We
life.
Are, and this is where we're headed. We live in a culture of death. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, what is death? Death is the separation of body and soul. That's the very definition of death. So a culture of death is a culture that separates body and soul. And here's what John Paul II is pointing out to us in his Theology of the Body. He says, in the secular world, you basically have this emphasis of the body and sexuality cut off from the spiritual dimension. But what we have among many Christians today is the spiritual dimension cut off from the body and sexuality.
Yes.
Guess what? Both are death.
Yeah.
Both are death. And we can't correct the secular world in a flash. Mm-hmm. We can't correct its error of separating sexuality from spirituality, but we can and we must correct our own error as Christians of separating spirituality from sexuality.
What age group have you found that is the most interested in this? And when can we start talking about this stuff?
Well, the Church says in her document, The Truth and Meaning of Sexuality, of Human Sexuality, that education in God's plan for male and female, for sexuality, must begin at the moment of conception.
Wow.
And it must continue uninterrupted throughout the whole course of our lives. So mm-hmm. obviously, Paul and Corey, we're talking here about something far beyond, you know, plumbing and where babies come from.
Right, right.
We're talking about why did God make us male and female? And this is pertinent for each and every one of us. This is so critical for a toddler
sure.
to know there are boys and girls in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's critical. I mean, here's an example of what we try to do in our family. I'll just share this. When we put our kids to bed, we've been doing this for years. I have my oldest is 17, my youngest is 6. We have 5 kids. And every night when we say prayers, it goes like this. Thank you, Lord, for making mommy to be a woman and daddy to be a man. Thank you for calling us to the sacrament of marriage. Thank you for bringing each of our kids into the world through our love.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is absolutely foundational stuff for our understanding of existence. We come into the world through the love of our mom and our dad.
Right.
And this is controversial in our world today. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Yeah. Now, when you go out on the road and you give talks on theology of the body, what kind of a reaction do you get from the guys?
Well, one of the biggest reactions, whether it's guys or gals, one of the biggest reactions I get is, whoa, I went to Catholic schools my whole life and never heard any of it.
Never
Why
heard
not?
That. Yeah. Right.
And let me, if I can just rewind a little bit and say something about the very phrase, theology of the body. What we're saying here, what John Paul is teaching, is that our bodies themselves, as male and female, tell God's story of love. Theology is the study of God. Well, what makes our bodies theological? Our bodies, as male and female, tell the eternal love story of God. See, if you read Scripture from start to finish, we discover it's a love story. And more specifically, it's a story about marriage. The Bible begins with the marriage of man and woman, and it ends with the marriage of Christ and the church. This is the key for understanding the whole story. God wants to marry us, and he wanted this eternal marital plan to be so plain to us that he stamped an image of it right in our bodies when he made us male and female, and he caused the two to become one flesh. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 that this one flesh union is a great mystery, and it refers to Christ and the church. That's what makes our bodies and our sexuality not only biological, but theological. So whether it's men or women who are hearing this message for the first time, they're like, how come I've never heard this before? This would have saved me so much pain. And if somebody would have shown me the banquet sooner, I would have avoided the fast food.
Mm-hmm. And been sick.
That's right.
I am curious. This really, when you get right down to the nuts and bolts of it, is something that we have had in our Catholic teaching since the very beginning. Why did it take a St. John Paul II to bring it out and into the open and have us talk about it?
Yeah, Paul, you're right there. That's very important. This is nothing new. It hasn't fallen out of the sky in the 20th century. John Paul II is really summarizing 2,000 years of reflection on the subject for us. But he is taking us to new depths of understanding, and I'd look at it like this. You know, the Holy Spirit grants the Church what she needs when she needs it. And if you look at all the great theological developments over history, by and large, these developments come as a response to a crisis in the Church or in the world. And the crisis of our day, the crisis of the 20th century and now into the 21st century, is of a sexual nature. We don't understand the meaning of our sexuality. We are so confused. We are so off in our understanding of why we are male and female, to the extent that we think we have, what, like five or six genders now or something?
Oh, yeah, at least.
In the midst of that chaos, these words of Jesus just bring great clarity. He says, haven't you read that in the beginning, God made them male and female and called the two to become one flesh? These words slice through all that confusion like a hot knife through butter to get us to the fundamental truth of who we are. And this is what is needed at this time in history as a response to the sexual revolution. We are still, as Christians, we are still reeling from the bomb that exploded right at the heart and center of our lives with the sexual revolution.
And it's still exploding, isn't it?
It's still exploding. And we're, I think, and I'm afraid it's true, that we are going to drink this distorted cup to the dregs. And we are headed in a direction, you know, we could put it this way. What's the end result of a culture of death?
Extinction.
Extinction, yeah.
That would be death.
Nothing left, yes.
But here's the good news. We are people of hope. And at the very foundation of our faith is the resurrection of the body. See how physical our faith is. Our faith is incarnational. It is the body and blood of Jesus that saves us. Ours is an enfleshed religion, and we must never unflesh it.
And what does all this mean from a man's perspective? If a man is listening right now, what can you tell him about the theology of the body and this subject in general?
We are different.
I mean, what do they take away from it?
And men are kind of repressed, aren't they?
I think it's true. Men, in a particular way in our world today, we don't know what it means to be men.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the men listening out there, I would beg of you, every day, here's a 30-day challenge for all the men listening. For the next 30 days, first thing you do when you wake up, you say, God, show me why you made me a man. You know, has a man ever asked, standing there in the shower, why, oh God, did you make me this way? And what we will learn as we really seek compelling answers to that question, our bodies tell a story. A man's body doesn't make sense by itself.
Mm-hmm.
A woman's body doesn't make sense by itself. But seen in light of each other, the man discovers that he is called to make a gift of himself to another and to the offspring that might result from that gift. So the fulfillment of masculinity is seen in Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ, naked from the cross, says to his bride, "This is my body given up for you." You know, maybe if I could summarize it this way, I never met my father-in-law, but I admire him as a man tremendously. I didn't meet him because he died when my wife was a girl, but I admire him because of this story. When he married my mother-in-law in the mid-60s, they consummated their love. They're on their wedding night. It was a Saturday. They went to Mass for the first time as husband and wife the next morning, and coming back from receiving the Lord in the Eucharist, my father-in-law was in tears, and his new bride said to him, "Honey, what is it?" And through his tears, he said, "For the first time in my life, I understood the meaning of those words. This is my body given up for you. That's the meaning of masculinity. That's what theology of the body means to a man. We are called to give up our bodies. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians 5. That's the meaning of male sexuality, to be a gift. And it, this is under such violent attack, precisely because the enemy wants to keep men in our world from discovering what it means to be true images of Christ. So he attacks our sexuality.
Now, you talk about theology of the body to people from all around the world. Do you find a difference in the cultures to color the reactions and the understanding of it?
That's a great question, Paul. And yes, there are certainly differences in culture. When I'm in Europe or when I'm in the Philippines or when I'm, you know, wherever I might be around the world, I'm always trying to get a read on the specific realities of that culture. And so I can speak in a language that's intelligible.
Right.
And yet, there's a common denominator here. And the common denominator is this. The fundamental fact of human existence everywhere is that we're made male and female. And we have this hunger to love and be loved. That's the common denominator of human nature. What does it mean that we're male and female? And what does it mean to love and be loved? These are the deep, deep questions that theology of the body gives us real, compelling answers to. So wherever I am in the world, I discover people who are open to learning, and when they really receive what John Paul has given us, lives are healed, lives are changed, relationships are saved, vocations are rediscovered. And let me say this on that note, theology of the body is not just for married people. Theology of the body is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a body, this theology applies to you.
Right.
Once again, as Catholics, we are countercultural, aren't we?
We are.
Christopher West, it's been a joy visiting with you once again. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Rediscover Hour. Look forward to seeing you the next time you're in the Twin Cities.
Thanks, Paul and Corey. I really appreciate it. Great to be with you.
Thanks, Christopher.
We'll be talking a little bit about the female perspective of theology of the body in just a couple of minutes. Jeff Cavins will visit with Jen Messing. This is the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover. Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new building, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical need. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Today on the Rediscover Hour, we're talking with Jen Messing. She's the founder of Into the Deep, which is a local ministry that has a national outreach for all the way from middle school to adults. She has an unusual mixture of theology and going into the wild and learning about God and specifically focusing on theology of the body. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thank you.
It's good to have you with us today. You know, we've been hearing for years about theology of the body. Of course, St. John Paul the Second, the Great, is the one that most people know introduced it.
But a lot of people don't know what we're talking about when we talk about theology of the body. And I want to get into that. But first of all, you're a local person.
I am, right from Minneapolis, St. Paul, currently living in St. Paul, but was raised in Minneapolis at St. Charles Borromeo.
Very good. Northeast.
Yes.
Northeaster.
Yes.
And how long have you been involved in this ministry, Into the Deep?
I actually just started the nonprofit 2 years ago. I've been giving talks and retreats on theology of the body for over 10 years, but just finally endeavored into starting a nonprofit 2 years ago.
What's unusual about what you do is that you don't just sit in a classroom and teach people. You take them way out into the woods where their cell phones won't work after a while to speak to them. And I'm curious about that, and I want to investigate that a little bit. But returning to the focus of today's show, the theology of the body, give us kind of a primer, a synopsis of what does this mean, where did it come from, and how does it affect our lives?
Sure. John Paul II, I would say prior to him becoming Pope, he had written two works, actually, one being Love and Responsibility in the late 50s, to speak to what was starting to develop in what later became known as the sexual revolution. He wrote the book Love and Responsibility as a precursor, explaining what love, lust, desire, etc. are. And then when it was probably the early 70s, he wrote a book that later became known as Theology of the Body, but it was an answer to Humanae Vitae and why the Pope had previously put out there that contraception was not okay in the church. And with the uproar that ensued, he understood that people don't remember who they are. They don't remember their dignity. They don't remember what does it mean to be made in the image of God and to love like God loves. So his book that became known as Theology of the Body really sought to expound on that. And it started with the explanation of what we were called to be in the beginning, what happened in the fall, what we're looking forward to in the end, but then really, how do we live it out in the meantime? How do we live it out as a married person, as a celibate person, and even just as a person in general? How are we called to love?
So you're saying he wrote the book actually quite a while ago.
Yes.
Even before the world started changing socially.
Yes. And he was about to publish it, I'm told, but he was elected Pope. And at the time, that wasn't the thing for a Pope to publish a book. So he started delivering it as a Papa, verbally to us through his Wednesday audiences for five full years. He gave us a little bit at a time. And later it was compiled into a book that was somewhat dubbed Theology of the Body, but the actual title is Man and Woman, He Created Them.
Well, we're going to be talking with Christopher West a little bit later on in the show from a man's perspective. And I want to hear from a woman's perspective about the theology of the body, but give us the goods here as far as how does theology and the human body intersect to tell a story?
Mm. The theology of the body, that phrase is something that tends to trip people up a little bit only because they start thinking, well, theology means the study of God. And when you sort of tack on of the body, it doesn't really make sense in people's minds. So I like to just break it down to say that our body teaches us about God. And specifically because God is love, we recognize that we can learn what love is, even through our very bodies. And it's a simple recognition that the Trinity is constantly giving and receiving love. And we are made in God's image, and therefore we're made to love. We're made to give and receive love all the time, regardless of who we're around, whether we're 5 years old or 95 years old, we're made to give and receive love with the people around us. And that concept is really at the heart of theology of the body, that reality that our very bodies speak a language of giving and receiving love. It gets to the core of our personhood, and it tells us the entire story of what we're part of. You know, the reality is that God created us in the beginning as a body, soul, person. And when we fell in body and soul. And we experience struggle and sin and all the temptations in life through our body and soul. We were redeemed in body and soul when Jesus struggled and suffered in body and soul. We are aiming, you know, through this life that we live in as a body, soul, person. We're given sacraments that feed us and strengthen us in body and soul. The reality being that the goal is to be in heaven forever with God. As a body, soul, person, we sometimes forget that in the creed we preach that we believe in the resurrection of the body. And And we forget that it's not just our soul that gets to be with God forever, but rather that at the end of time, our body and soul will be reunited and our whole person will be with God forever. And so this struggle that we're a part of is to remember who we are, who we were made to be in the beginning, mm-hmm. and therefore work through this battle in life to get to be with God again forever in heaven.
So for your average young adult listening that is thinking, wow, that's cool. That's mm-hmm. that's really neat. If they were to ask you, well, how does that affect me in my everyday life? And I'm dating right now, they may say. How does this come into play?
I think the baseline that every one of us has to remember, no matter where we're at in our lives, is that every one of us is called to love. Every one of us is called to give and receive love with the people that are around us. And every one of us has a gift to give. That is, I think, the baseline of first remembering that you're made as an individual, unique and unrepeatable human person that's made male or female, and you're made to give or receive love, or both to give and receive love in the world. And if you keep that in mind, that you have been given a body and a soul to give and receive love with others in the world, whether it be your family, your friends, your spouse, your fellow brother priests, whatever, the reality mm-hmm. is that we're all called to love. Thinking through what it means to love, I think a lot of times people immediately jump from the basics to what does it look like to be married? But in all reality, theology of the body helps us to remember that your the very reality of your body is that it expresses your person. And you can smile at someone and make a gift of yourself, your whole person, because you express yourself through a smile, which is coming through your body, and it radiates to another person. Mm-hmm. They can receive that and be given just a little bit of life. And you can do the opposite, give them a dirty look, and it sure. drags them down and in some sense brings a little bit of death into the world, if that makes sense. So it's like you have this choice of how are you going to be your person in the world? Are you going to radiate joy and bring life to the world? Or are you going to be a downer and give people dirty looks all the time and, and drag people down and not be a gift? I mean, that's the choice you have in everyday life plays out at deeper and deeper levels as you discern your vocation, as you start thinking about dating, as you deal with tough family situations. It's the choice between life and death every single day. It's the choice of, am I going to be a gift or am I going to be selfish? Am I going to radiate God's love or am I going to, again, be selfish mm-hmm. and just turn inward? And our bodies are the vehicle that we speak this language with. We either speak the language of love or we speak a language of selfishness. And that is going to play out if you are thinking of how you're going to play with your toys with your five-year-old friend, or if you are thinking about dating another person, or if you're thinking about having children with your spouse. I mean, these are the choices that we make. Are we going to give life or are we going to be selfish and just kind of stay stagnant?
So I like what you're saying, because you are broadening this topic of theology of the body from merely a talk of a sexual relationship, either between a married couple or out of marriage, and you're bringing it into everyday life in yes. every relationship, every expression, mm-hmm. whether it's your eyes or what you say or your arms, whatever it might be. And I think that that's something beautiful, you know, that the theology of the body that you're talking about is really all of life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes.
and God has given us these bodies, not just to walk around in, but to express something,
yes.
which is the love of God.
Yes.
Talk about marriage a little bit then. When we talk about the marital act, this embrace that takes place in marriage, what is being communicated there in marriage?
Mm. The beauty of being made male and female is that God made us to complement one another and to speak a language with our bodies, and in the simplicity of the very structure of our bodies, he has taught us something about Trinitarian love. And it's fairly mind-blowing when you think of how simple the nakedness of Adam and Eve was to express, wow, you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and the joy of realizing you are like me, but there was a complementarity that was allowing union between the two, right? Mm-hmm. So you think in terms of giving and receiving love, we recognize that men are given bodies to make a gift of themselves, to pour themselves out in love to bring life to the world. And we as women, we are given bodies that can receive love in order to conceive life within us and bear life to the world. It's all about giving and receiving love, which is a reflection of that eternal exchange of love in the Trinity. And what do you know? God, in pouring himself out to us, brings life to the world. And man and woman, when they pour themselves out in love as a total self-gift to the other, life can be named after 9 months, right? So like there's this incredible parallel that's going on, even though there's not an exact parallel to each person of the Trinity when you think of male and female and child and whatever. It's not an exact parallel, but it's still an amazing something to contemplate as far as being made in the image of a God who is constantly giving and receiving love, and that God pouring himself out gave life to all of creation, that Jesus dying on the cross poured out himself totally to give life. The Holy Spirit is poured out into us to give us the life of the Spirit. Like this is who God is. He is love, and we are in this small, tiny way imaging it, and we get this tiny little glimpse through the love of man and woman of what that looks like.
So when a married couple, and I emphasize a married couple, fully gives themselves to each other physically, they are saying something. They are communicating love, which is participating in the Trinity, in the love of the Trinity. What happens when they do that outside of marriage? I'm assuming if the union of a husband and wife is truth and expressing truth, that outside of marriage, it's also expressing something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think it's important to remember that every person that seeks to express themselves sexually, they're looking for love.
Right.
They are attempting in whatever way they know to either seek love or to give love, because it's the deepest desire of every human person. And oftentimes people don't know that what they're doing isn't really love. But in all reality, when we think of what the body speaks, as far as the language of love, that's a giving and receiving of bodily wholeness, you know, it's a free, total, faithful, fruitful gift of love between spouses. That is something that speaks a language of intrinsic permanence. There's an intrinsic bond that goes along with that act. And when we think about what the sacrament of marriage actually is, let's back it up. What every sacrament is, there are words and there are actions that mm-hmm. go along with that. There's mm-hmm. a physical expression of a spiritual reality, and there are always words and actions, mm-hmm. and there are formal terms for that as well. But the thing that we can remember is something like baptism. There are the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then the water is poured over. Well, the spiritual reality is that original sin is taken away.
Right.
And so you recognize that in marriage, the reality is that the words that are spoken at the altar are the verbal bond, and the verbal vow is made, and then the vow is made with the body after the fact, right? So there are two parts to every sacrament. Well, a person who is seeking sexual intercourse outside of that marriage bond, where they have not stood in front of the community and had a witness to mm-hmm. say, yes, I bond myself to this person for the rest of my life until I die. I'm open to children. Like, we make those vows in front of everyone to make sure that everyone knows that we're serious. And then we embark in the act. But most people now are, instead of saying that vow in front of everyone, they're saying, well, I don't really need that. And they're going for it as far as just physically taking part in something.
Are they speaking a lie?
That would be the conclusion of that. Yeah. I mean, it's something they don't know it to be most of the time, mm-hmm. but intrinsically it is, because there has not yet been a formal declaration before God saying, I vow myself to this person for the rest of my life. And it does get into a lot of trickiness when people start saying, well, I mean it in my heart. But we can say that about any sacrament. We can say, well, I'm dedicated to God. I don't need to be baptized. But we follow things according to how God told us. You know, He's the one that said you got to be baptized. And we recognize that all the sacraments have their root somewhere in what Jesus directed us to do. And so that's something that is obviously a longer conversation, but
we're talking with Jen Messing, and Jen is the founder of Into the Deep, and she spends an awful lot of time traveling the country and speaking about theology of the body, and also going up into the woods with young people and adults to bring them to a place where they can kind of settle down and hear God and talk about some of these truths. Jen, from a woman's perspective, you know, we're talking about theology of the body. What is unique to women when we talk about theology of the body? And what do you say to women when you get women together?
Mm. It's one of my favorite opportunities to talk about theology of the body. I think what is a beautiful starting point to that is always talking about receptivity. Because of the very structure of our bodies teaching us something about God, the unique way that we as women teach the world about God is through our receptivity. There's a reality of giving and receiving love that is constant within the Trinity. And it's not that we can sit and name which part of the Trinity is the feminine part, but we can just recognize that there is a giving and a receiving of love, and there is a physical sign in our bodies that tells us something about what it means to open up and receive the love of God, to conceive his life within us and to bear life to the world. And that concept has such far-reaching consequences, because in all reality, every single one of us, male or female, is called to be receptive to God's love. And it's a little harder for men, I think, sometimes to imagine the bride-bridegroom thing.
Right, right.
But sometimes it's helpful to think of the father-son thing, you know, the love of the father pouring out and receiving that as a son. Like, that is just as legit to think of. But we as women have a very bodily sense for what that means to open up and receive. And that is something that is so beautiful. And it is very Marian, obviously, too. We can relate to.
But don't some people see that or perceive that as a weakness? That you are in a receiving mode rather than a giving mode?
But see, the reality is, to be who you're made to be is in and of itself a beautiful strength. Mm-hmm. To not think that you have to be something else. I think the destructiveness of the feminist movement, which in all reality, there are many truths that spurred that on, things that were being done to women that were not just, but the end consequence was, instead of being fully woman, it was shut down who you are as a woman so you can be more like a man. And in reality, the glory of our womanhood is to radiate how God made us to be, because there is a complementarity. There is never a lack of equality. It's that we are equal as we are made in the image of God. We are both greatly made great, made good, made with great dignity. We are made to love. But we are different, and that is a beautiful thing. That is a complementary thing that brings life into the world. If we try to be men, then who is going to be the one that teaches receptivity, that teaches the warmth of the motherly embrace? I mean, there are things about our very bodies that speak volumes about the reality of nurturing and bringing life into the world in the way that God made us to. And that's never something to downplay, because of the fact that there is a great deal of strength in being humble enough to receive. And it's not easy, I think, for a lot of women. We're very much in the mindset of, well, I can do it myself. Why would I need to? I mean, I am a very independent-minded woman at many times, but there has been a beautiful learning curve in recognizing that instead of saying, no, I'll do it myself, to receive the gift of another person and to honor their gift by receiving rather than refusing it and saying, no, I can do it myself. There's a beauty to receiving who another person is and receiving whatever God offers at that moment. And I think even, you know, talking about camping trips, the laugh, because you receive all the circumstances that are thrown at you. You receive the weather the Lord offers you. You receive all the quirky personalities of people that are in one place in a tent for 4 days. And, you know, I mean, you have to learn how to receive things in a graceful way. And that's the gift that our femininity offers.
Sure. We have a couple minutes left. Tell me about Into the Deep, because I know that there are certain times of the year where you're not in the city anymore. You're out there deep into the woods.
Yes.
And tell me what those retreats are all about.
Mm. They were born of my own experience of spending a lot of time in the woods when I was a child, and continuing to do so as an adult, recognizing that fostered a detachment from electronics. It it fostered prayer time because it's just it's quiet. And in really you get outside and you recognize that God is so close. And not that I would ever substitute, you know, going to Mass in a church, but it is pretty profound to be outside and to recognize that this is the first cathedral. This is where God taught us to raise our hearts and our minds to Him through looking up into the trees, looking up into the sky, seeing the sun and the moon and stars. I mean, this is His way of screaming, "I am God." And it's so amazingly evident when you bring young people or even adults into the woods that they have an encounter with God so quickly, because the quiet is conducive to that relationship. And so I started recognizing that I really didn't want to do an indoor retreat. Number one, because I'm not an entertainer. I don't do skits and, you know, things like that. I'm not a netter. I just have this desire to let God entertain. And so I can facilitate bringing people into the woods. Mm-hmm. I give them the stuff to chew on as far as the topics on theology of the body that they can take into their prayer time, whether it be paddling a canoe or if we're hiking or if we're just sitting on the edge of a lake.
The age group and how long are the retreats?
Typically up to a week. They can be shorter, they can be longer. But age group, I've done now this past summer, I tried out a middle school girls trip that I love it. I'm going to do it again for sure. And I will be doing high school trips again. I'm transitioning into doing some of these things through Into the Deep, as opposed to being a volunteer for my parish. But there will be a high school trip that's probably mixed guys and girls, a young adult trip as well as an adult trip.
Well, I like your concept of going out and seeing the handiwork of God. You know, it reminds me of what the Catechism says, that there's three ways that we really can come to know something of God: through nature and through the human person and reason. But we hit a wall, and there is the need for God to disclose Himself. And we call that divine revelation. Mm-hmm. So to be able to walk out into the woods knowing divine revelation and see the beauty of God is kind of a double dose of God's blessing when you go out there. And I think most of us, deep down inside, do have that desire to just go out, be quiet, listen to the Lord. Jen, it's been so good talking to you. If people want to get in touch with you about the retreats or to have you speak, what's the best way to get in touch?
There is a website that sometimes when people Google Into the Deep, it doesn't come up because many things are called Into the Deep out there. So I actually, the outdoor trips that I do are called ID retreats, as in identity or ID.
The letters
the
ID.
Acronym, the letters ID. So ID retreats.
Okay.
Plural. That is
ID retreats.
.org. That is the website. And so that is where all the information is stashed and all the contact information.
So. Well, I thank you for the work that you're doing in the Archdiocese and beyond.
Thank you.
Pray that God continues to bless you in your teaching the theology of the body. You've done a great work.
Thank you.
Talking with Jen Messing, Into the Deep, and you can get a hold of her at idretreats.org. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. Alessandro Manzoni's novel of 1842, The Betrothed, would become the defining novel of Italian literature. Set in the horrifying circumstances of Milan in 1648, the novel follows the fortunes of a young betrothed couple, Renzo and Lucia. Manzoni portrays the historical realities of 17th century Milan and weaves into his story a number of historical figures, perhaps most notably the Cardinal Archbishop of Milan, Federigo Borromeo, the bold and brilliant cousin and successor to St. Charles Borromeo. The composer Giuseppe Verdi dedicated his Requiem to Manzoni. Pope Francis says The Betrothed is his favorite novel. The portrait of Borromeo might suggest why.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan, and I am honored today to be joined by Aaron Merrigan and Sandy Spiraza two birth mothers here to talk about their stories and a wonderful event, a mass in honor and recognition of birth mothers that's coming up. Sandy, let's start with you. Could you tell us a little bit about your story and a message you would like to relay to mothers out there?
Okay. Yes, my message is to all mothers. And as children, we are all given, infinite gifts from our Father in heaven. When we learn that we are to be mothers, our lives change, and we prepare for this impending birth. All mothers probably experience the anticipation, going to doctor appointments to measure the growth of our baby, and take pills to ensure its good health. And we love and cherish that first flutter that we feel, and then later the elbow or foot to be known, to let us know that someone is in anticipation to its own entrance into this world. We have bonded with this baby growing in uterus, and if a daddy is involved, his love grows as he, for the first time, sees his child. This is universal. All parents probably experience the same emotions, whether or not they have the chance to parent. Once we go through that birth experience, if you can all just sit quietly and remember that joy and love that you felt when you delivered your child.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us who were birth mothers, someone entered that room, swaddled the baby, and took it out of the room. You were sent back to your room and told not to come to the nursery to visit the baby, never to speak of it, to keep it a secret, and that you wouldn't have to share this with anyone, not even your future husband.
And now those birth mothers have wounds that need healing.
Absolutely.
And what do you guys do for those birth mothers?
I think we have lots of crosses that were given to us that we have carried for many, many years because we weren't encouraged to share our story with anybody. First of all, we entered the Holy Sacrament of matrimony with a man that we withheld mm-hmm. the fact that we had a child.
Sure.
The siblings that are brothers or sisters to this child that was placed for adoption. So we have stuffed and not spoken of some very big issues in our life, and we've carried them forever for 40, 50, 60, maybe more years. And this opportunity for this healing program that a Catholic Archdiocese is providing to us mothers gives us a chance to be with other women who have held those same secrets, who have those same crosses, and it's a wonderful opportunity to talk about forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
for love, for healing, and encouragement to share your story with your children.
To share the stories. Now, what, Aaron, what does the Mass in honor of recognition, and tell us more about this event. You're involved in volunteer that is planning the event, and tell us what this event can do and who's included and who's invited.
Sure, thank you. This is our seventh year, and I think we had like 35 women last year, and it's going to be taking place at Our Lady of Grace in Edina.
Okay.
And going forward, they have offered their space to us very graciously for this event. So for future years,
it will always be there.
Yes.
Okay.
Melissa Miller is the point person that'll be handling the registration. Just I can give a phone number for her just quickly right now. 952-929-3317, extension 111. Melissa Miller, or anyone at Our Lady of Grace, they would know. But the event is November 8th. It's a Saturday. It starts at 9:30. We do a welcome, pastries and coffee, just to people get settled. We start at 10. We have birth mother stories. We have a licensed psychologist that speaks. We have breakout groups, and that's the most favorite part. The women, like, some haven't talked to anyone.
Sure.
And lot return.
Uh-huh. A lot of times there is a lot of healing that needs to be done, isn't there? Yes.
Just in sharing.
Yes.
There is, and then we also offer resources, too, because
okay.
you don't look it up in the Yellow Pages.
Right.
You know.
How do you find something like that?
Yes,
right. So this is it. And so breakout sessions. And
then there's lunch. The whole event is $15, but if you're not able to pay, there is we can help you with that.
Okay.
Well, maybe you could give us a nutshell of your story, Erin.
Well, I had my husband and I were in college. He was a junior. I was a senior at the St. John's and St. Ben's. And
mm-hmm.
I like to say I'm from St. Paul, so a lot of saints in my life. We had a son in 1981, and relinquish him and chose his parents. So that was really good. The times were changing then, mm-hmm. that you were able to be a little more included.
To choose.
Versus okay. Sandy's era and prior to that, there was no decision making. So that was very comforting for myself, or for both of us, actually. My boyfriend at the time and I married 6 years later. And probably have 4 more children. So.
Okay. And you've since found your
yes.
son
yep,
and have a relationship with him
yep,
as well as Sandy.
Wow.
Yep.
Yep.
Actually,
oh,
my
that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Thanks.
I'll bet.
Wonderful,
yes.
In fact, my oldest Ray's son, I have 5 children, but the oldest Ray's is working with his brother in North Carolina.
Oh,
so they
wow.
work
so
together.
They have a relationship.
Brothers
their,
raised apart.
Yes.
Work
okay.
together. So
amazing.
We're all proud of that.
Wonderful. Now, let's remind everyone this is for women of any faith. Correct?
Yes.
And how can they find out more information? Can you give that number again?
Sure. 952-929-3317, extension 111. You can also go on the Archdiocese website. There's information there.
Search Birth Mothers to find out information on the
yep.
event.
And call Our Lady of Grace, too. That would be easy enough.
Let me interject here mm-hmm. and just say thank you both for choosing life.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And
yes.
for the work you do to help other women who chose life heal from giving away such an important thing. I can't imagine that, but you guys are doing wonderful work.
Well, there's a lot of healing that can happen when the adoptee comes back to say, thank you for choosing life.
Oh, mm-hmm. my.
Oh,
I
for
imagine
sure.
So.
That's a healing message in itself.
Right. Right. Well, Aaron and Sandy, thank you so much. And we look forward to hearing how the event goes and having you guys on again next year.
We'd love to come.
Yeah, it'd be great.
And we will take a look at other events happening around the Twin Cities in just a minute. This is the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio.
Oh. Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy-efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Let your light shine down.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan.
And here's a look at some of the things coming up around the Twin Cities. St. Maron's Catholic Church invites you to witness and venerate the relics of St. Rafka on the occasion of the 100th anniversary of the saint's death. This weekend, October 18th and 19th, celebration begins with 4 p.m. liturgy Saturday and an all-night vigil, which concludes at 1 p.m. Sunday following the 10:15 a.m. liturgy. Refreshments as well as information about St. Rafka will be available, including a viewing of a video of her life, prayer cards, and more. St. Maron is at 602 University Avenue Northeast in Minneapolis. To find out more, call 651-341-3337. That's 651-341-3337.
And the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life invites you to row on trial Tuesday, October 21st at 6:30 p.m. at Lumen Christi Catholic Church in St. Paul. Come experience a moot court presentation of a court case that could overturn Roe v. Wade if presented to the Supreme Court. University of St. Thomas law professors will present the case and you will be the Supreme Court judges. The Pro-Life Law Center from St. Thomas is offering this educational event open to all. The event is free and no registration is necessary. For more information, contact Sharon Wilson at 651-291-4506.
Mark your calendars. The Highland and University Life Care Center Benefit Banquet is on Friday, November 14th at the Anderson Student Center at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. Bishop Andrew Cousins will present Love for the Child, the hallmark of a Christian culture. The event begins at 6 p.m. Social, silent auction, dinner, and program. For more information, call 651-695-0111. Again, that's 651-695-0111.
Now, if you've ever considered becoming a Third Order Carmelite, you're invited to attend a Carmelite Information Sunday at Nativity of Our Lord Church in St. Paul on Sunday, November 2nd at 1 p.m. Contact Richard Showall at 651-295-5558. That's 651-295-5558.
The Respect Life Committee at St. Andrew's Catholic Church in Elk River will host a craft show on November 8th, 9 to 5 in the school gymnasium. They're inviting crafters as well as shoppers. For more information, contact Gail at 763-441-3354. Proceeds will benefit education regarding the sanctity of life at all stages. Again, for information, call 763-441-3554. Coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk about spiritual direction. What is it? Jeff Cavins will talk with Mark Hart to discuss Mark's new book, Zealous. That's on the Rediscover Hour. Brought to you by Stinson Electric, Friday mornings at 9, Saturday evenings at 6, Sunday mornings at 9 on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330, and is presented by your trusted electrical advisor, Stinson Electric, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.